Tonight, we gather in faith, in hope, and in love. We gather as people have since time of old, a people who followed a faith they experienced in their very bones, of a God, of a mystery that called them to leave what they had known and to be nudged to something new, to travel to places they had not yet seen. Faith. We gather today as people have since time of old, a people who held out hope, who tried to make sense of the stories of their lives while they sat next to the rivers of Babylon, weeping, holding on to a hope against hope, that the mystery that had called them from beyond continued to call them even when they sat despairing in a strange land. And we gather as people have since time of old, a people who believed in love, a love that instilled in them the values of mercy and kindness, of justice, and a way of walking humbly with God. Love, faith, hope, and love. And we gather tonight, we have been enfolded by these words that have been reiterated by a man who discovered that holding fast to a faith tradition without love became a devotion to violence. If the Apostle Paul did indeed pen these words recorded in the letter of Colossians, these are the words of a man who radically changed his mind, his path, and his vocation. He repented in the best sense of the word, struck helpless, without sight, without strength, by a vision and a voice so haunting that faith was born anew in him, love of those he despised, and a hope against all hopes. Even when he, like his ancestors, was imprisoned by another nation. And it is from this imprisoned place that he writes once more of faith, of hope, and of love. And I better put my glasses on because I wondered why I couldn't see what I was reading. I have a memory of one misty Sunday morning in 2015, heartbroken after a failed engagement, pressing the pedestrian light on 14th and Oak Street, one foot walking in front of the other, turning left on Laurel, and walking into this place, and being encircled by people. Not a great many people, not people of great physical stature, or people of accolades, or even of internal stability, but in spite of this, no friends, because of this, they were a people of great faith. So Mary Magdalene was then two communities of people, St. George's and St. Mark's Kitsilano. The community of St. George's, a place of humble welcome, a community who reached out to families in despair as they searched for parking and then made their way to the loved ones in hospital, processing life-changing diagnoses. The community of St. George was a community who sang to those who could downsize no more, who lived in the extended care facility at Banfield. A community whose church is built in an apartment building, homes that were constructed intelligently so that everyone who lives here is considered able-bodied. This is a community who welcomed and celebrated the neighborhood artist, the poet, and the musician at Speakeasy Nights. And there was also the community of St. Mark's Kitsilano, a community of radical hospitality, where community dinners of food and treats were multiplied before our eyes. A community who risked making a liturgical turn in the face of opposition, so that their prayers echoed their hearts and their heads. and a people who sang with and without music, building community with the joining of voices. These two very different communities of people, St. George's, St. Mark's, came together. Now let's just be honest here for a moment. I'm not sure if we came together or came apart at the seams during those years, but we did something, maybe both, but we did something that not many will attempt to try. Merging, marrying, covenanting, a love for an other, sometimes a despised other, but a love that is born, that can only be born out of helplessness and the haunting call of the mystery of God. These two communities had faith, yes, and they had hope, but the love was a bit more work, as it always is. For as Scott Peck defines love, riding on the laurels of Eric Fromm, love is the will to extend one's self for the purpose of nurturing one's own and another's spiritual growth. Love is as love does. Love is an act of will, both an intention and an action. And will implies choice. We do not have to love. We choose to love. St. Mary Magdalene was birthed out of a people who chose to embody a love, hard-earned through the fires of hurt and forgiveness. And we had living saints among us who modeled it. Reverend Vivian Seegers. Founder of Urban Aboriginal Ministry, stood where I am standing and spoke of her trauma and her desire to love those, even those who had mistreated her. May she rest in peace. We have Reverend John Marsh, founder of St. Mary Magdalene, who on one Sunday morning invited his ex-wife into the community and made a public apology for his part in the ending of their marriage, a powerful demonstration of love. And friends, this room tonight is alive with that same love, with that same faith, and with that same hope. We are witnessing the beginning of a new ministry, a brave woman in Reverend Tasha Carruthers. A brave and an honest woman who speaks out what she sees. A woman who walks with fiery strength, uniquely coupled with the humility, that kind of I'm not afraid to change my mind kind of humility. She has entered this room with a commitment to truth-telling. And as African-American feminist scholar Bell Hooks writes, a commitment to truth-telling lays the groundwork for the openness and honesty that is the very heartbeat of love. Faith, hope, and love. The people of Colossians had a faith. The faith referred to is the faith which they, as women and men who are in Christ, incorporated in, invited into union with God. And if their faith describes life from the perspective of its orientation toward their source, love, on the other hand, describes that same life from the point of view of its effect on other people. And Paul, in giving thanks for these people of Colossae, attributes their faith and love to their hope. A hope against all hopes, to quote John Caputo, a household name at St. Mary Magdalene. Hope is the risky business of calling for the coming of what we cannot see coming, of saying yes to the future when nothing is guaranteed. Hope whispers in our ears impossible things, waking us with a start in the night. Hope is a spirit, the aspiration, the very respiration of God's Spirit, of God's insistence which groans to exist. Oh, the audacity of hope. People of St. Mary Magdalene, dare to hope. Reverend Tasha Carruthers, dare to hope. To say yes to possibility, that which cannot yet be seen. For walking with you, cheering you on in the great halls of faith, are Sarah and Abraham who dared to leave it all, and those ancient ones weeping at the rivers, daring to make sense of their pain, and Saint Paul, a repentant jailbird, who reminds us that these three remain: faith, hope, and love. Amen.